Yeah, America the Beautiful. It's quite a nation that we live in. And, you know, this past week we've been celebrating 250 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. So we want to praise God and thank Him for what God has done as we celebrate. To start off, I'd like to paint a little word picture for all of you. If you can I'd like to take you back to June 21st, 1967. This is in Pleiku, Vietnam. There's a young man there waiting to board a Boeing 727 airplane. And as that young man waits, he finally gets on board the plane. It's one of those where it's got the stairs at the back of the plane that you have to walk up the steps to get into the plane. So this young man did that, found a seat about halfway in the cabin. It was filled with other military personnel at that time. And according to the paperwork, the plane took off from Pleiku at 9 a.m. on June 21st, 1967. And plane left the runway and you could hear the landing gear lock into place, there was a loud cheer went up from everyone on board because we were had did our tour of duty in Vietnam and we're going back to America, the beautiful, the country I love. But let's notice a couple of psalms here with regard to how we are to worship God on the Sabbath day for the blessings He give us. Psalm 119 and verse 24, where we read, "This is a day that God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Yes, God made the seventh day of the week for us. And we are to be rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 22 and verse 23. Psalm 22 and verse 23. "You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. Call your offspring of Israel, all you offspring of Israel." So today, go through, if you'll follow me, through history so that we understand how we got here, America, to 250 years. So we'll have to go to the book of history that we have, and that is right here that we have in front of us, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's begin there at the very beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," you know, this supreme being. You know, the fourth word in the Bible is God, or the Hebrew is Elohim. And that takes some explaining what it is that it is. Elohim is a plural form of not just one being, but plural form here. So in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth at this time. So as an English-speaking person, this is confirmed in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where the translators finally used the plural pronouns us and our to confirm the plural noun antecedent Elohim. So there at that time. So the translators recognized in verse 26 that Elohim was speaking to somebody, and he was speaking to someone who was just like him, which is why the word us is used there in Genesis 1, verse 26. And the translators were forced to use a plural pronoun. "Let us make man in our image." In fact, Elohim is used 66 times in a row at the beginning of the Bible before any other Hebrew word is translated into the English God, and which is found in Genesis 6 and verse 5, when it was that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, when finally another word is used for God. at that time, the Almighty we refer to. So someone can come that, yes, here we are, Elohim. There's more than one being there at the time of the creations of the heavens and the earth. And it's also, it says here, the Elohim is used in the Old Testament 2,570 times. And every usage where it is, it's translated gods. But I think we also know from John 1:1 in the New Testament, where John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have two individuals. So they created the heavens, as it says there in John, that it was Jesus Christ who was the creator. So also, if you turn with me over to the book of Isaiah, so we want to know about God. Who is this God that creates these things and did these things for us? Isaiah chapter 45. Because in Isaiah chapter 45, God tells us who he is, what he is, in his own words, is not using another prophet. He just explains who he is. Isaiah 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. So who is this Cyrus here that is mentioned here in this first verse? Well, hold your place here and we'll go over to Ezra. Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, regarding who Ezra is, or who Cyrus is. Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So here we know that Cyrus recognized there was God who gave him that kingship that he had. And we'll see others have to learn that as well. So then back to Isaiah now, chapter 45, and this time we'll drop down to verse 6, where God said, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So this is God, that there is no other. There's only one God. So you think about the creation of how they created the heavens and the earth and the continents and everything. And you sit there and wonder how much thought went into the creation of this earth, you know, this gem that sits out in space. And like the United States of America, you know, is... It says over here, and I believe it's Isaiah 46 and verse 10. God saying, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are yet done. Yes, it is God who determines what has happened in history. He knows what the end is. We've had a glimpse of it already in the song service about the new Jerusalem when God the Father comes down. Yes, that's the end of this creation of mankind and salvation for mankind. They know the end and they're working on it. So when they were creating this continent that America is on, what was it? Did Christ use his finger for the rivers here that we have in America? Did he say, well, right there, that's where the Mississippi's going to be, or this is where the Missouri's going to be, or let's put the Ohio over here, or river, you know, putting all these in because he knew what he was had given, was going to promise to some individual, as we'll see down the line, it would be Abraham, a great nation would appear. What had a, this was all pre-planned, this America, this continent, that creation of how this continent would be. You know, as I said, as we read here, he knows the end from the beginning of what would take place. So, yes. And so, you know, blessing us with all these great rivers we have here in America to move goods up and down the rivers, whether it's grain or petroleum products or anything. Cheapest way to move things is on the water, if we can do that. So, and then you think of the Great Lakes as well here that we have, the freighters that move on the Great Lakes. We have a cottage over on Lake Michigan, and when you look out there and see a freighter going through, they have an app now you can put on your phone, and it brings up the map, and the map shows there's a vessel there. You hit that vessel, and it brings out on the app who owns that vessel, the length of that vessel, where it is bound for, and what time it will arrive at its destination, and where it departed from. It's pretty amazing thing to see all these vessels out there on Lake Michigan going up and down as they go. So created by God, these great lakes just for America here that we have. And then you think of other things as well, the organic soils of the Great Plains, the breadbasket states that we have out west, Iowa, Nebraska, and everything, to all these food stuff that we have to feed not over America, but many times other nations who are going through drought or whatever. I mean, tremendous blessings that are here in America that we have been given. You know, I'm still trying to get used to where we live now, our South Swartz Creek area. When I was living over here on Waters Road, you know, the biggest field we had on the farm was a 15-acre field. Up there in Swartz Creek, they have fields that are 100 acres or more, and see the big machinery they have out there for planting and harvesting. I kind of wrap my, can't, you know, a John Deere B wouldn't work up there in Swartz Creek anymore on the farms. So, yes, and then you think of the blessings of this nation, of the forest lands that we have for the lumber and everything. Then you think of how we're blessed under the soil. We have coal, salt, petroleum, natural gas fields from Prudhoe Bay, how we acquired that from Russia, you know, Alaska, all these things before. God knew what he was doing and knew what the outcome would be at these times. So they were things created, and these blessings are here for us in America to use. But how did they come from? Well, we have to look back at history once again and find out where our history was. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 13. You may recall last time I gave a message, we talked about Abraham meeting Melchizedek. And, you know, when Melchizedek went out to meet Abraham after he had rescued his nephew, you know, this wasn't, you know, a first-time meeting. You can see that there had been a relationship through the years that was built between Abram and Melchizedek. I mean, the when Melchizedek came in, and I'm pretty sure he came with maybe an entourage, I don't know, with him. Abraham recognized who Melchizedek was when he gave him a tenth of everything of the spoils at that time. So then we have here in Genesis chapter 13. Verse 1, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And so we see here the things that took place here. Abraham obeyed and followed instructions from God when God told him to get up and move. So he got up and moved. So everything then happened here, the blessings. We read here in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We know spiritually that means out of Abraham would come Jesus Christ, and then Christ the Savior for all of mankind. But there's more indication than just that. There's blessing to other nations because of the physical blessings that God will give to Abraham and his descendants. So all the earth will be blessed. And then turn with me over to Genesis chapter 17 as we go through the family here of Abram. Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and with multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after me. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, in the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Notice how many times he says he will be the God of Abraham's descendants. And God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. So God made a covenant agreement at that time with Abraham. And then Genesis 22. All this is the background to the history of how we are here in America. Now, looking at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15 through 18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. This is when Abraham was asked to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, but we know the story how God intervened there. Because of his faithfulness, verse 17, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. So we see that at this time. And in your seed, Christ, this is, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have observed my voice. Because of his obedience, we see here at this time that Abraham was, you know, known as the father of the faithful. Then turn with me, follow me over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10 through 18. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took out one of the stones of that place and put it on his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reaching to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you all your seed shall be, the families of the earth be blessed. Well, here reference would be to Ephraim and Manasseh that would come from Jacob at that time. So then, let's continue on in our history lesson over here to Genesis chapter 48 and verses 1 through 19. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. So, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and Jacob was old. Look, your son Joseph is coming into you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me in Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give you this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simon. They shall be mine as well. So then we know the rest of this chapter, the story, how Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim at this time. Also, it's interesting to notice that we find here, this is the only place it's recorded that Jacob put his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. He didn't lay his hands on anyone else in that blessing of the nations, as we find here. So at this time, bless you. So, 73, you know, talks about the blessings. We here in America, we've been blessed, this nation. We are the people that have been blessed, and so we should. So it's just remembering that God, our Creator, and in the history book that was promised to Abraham. If you'd like more on the history of, now I'm holding this up. This is from the days of Worldwide. This is not the current title that United has. I thought I'd show you one of the booklets over there with United, but there's none over there. I guess our rack is empty. People have been gathering it up, but it has to do with United States and Great Britain and prophecy. So if you can go online and bring that out, this will all be explained in that booklet very well. So we are here. So we need to recognize, as I said, God in the beginning knows the end from the beginning. We need to remember that, and he's in charge. Over in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32, it's rather interesting. An individual king at that time had to learn that lesson as well. King Nebuchadnezzar, for you may remember the story where he became very pompous and everything, and God said, okay, you're very pompous. So here reading in Daniel 4 and verse 32 is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And then we realize the conclusion he came to. And it was forecast that he would be driven from men Daniel 4, verse 32, and they will drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, meaning, Nebuchadnezzar went down, he was just out in the beasts of the field like the animals, and eating grass like the oxen. Then God restored him to power. Notice the rest of this verse. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. You know, God's in charge and knows what's going on in the kingdoms around the earth, who's in charge. God's aware of everything that is going on. So we need to recognize that and know that. You think of the men that were there that signed this document in 1776, whether you think of George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, these men all had talents and were used to bring together for the signing of the documents. And, you know, you have John Adams as well as his wife Abigail was a part of that, this Declaration of Independence. And through the 250 years since, there's been others that Christ has used in this nation. Whether you think of the leaders in industry, maybe Henry Ford or John Deere. And I know most of you think of Henry Ford Automotive, but the name John Deere, I don't know how many of you know John Deere. He was famous. Well, you see his green machinery, and you might see construction equipment with John Deere. But he started out learning how to develop the moldboard plow to turn soil over without it sticking to the moldboard. And that's how he started his career, was building a plow like that. And then eventually he started with the tractors that are very famous. And also, when I was reading up some history about them, they brought out the you've heard of the Oliver Corporation, the fellow that started the Oliver Tractors did the same thing. He developed a plow as well that could do that. And that's where they started first, before they started their tractors. But all these, God has given these men wisdom for this nation of things. And if you want to have some good history lesson, you can. There's a movie out, 1776 movie. That's a good movie to watch always regarding our history. And PBS had a special out with John Adams and his wife. Very good. And in the past week, Amy and I have seen the new one out, Young George Washington. That's a good movie to see as well. And wasn't quite sure everything was factual in there, but according to Ken Burns, because we happened to see on PBS a couple nights after we saw the movie, Ken Burns was making reference to the same thing about George Washington. God was protecting George Washington and using him. So God knows who's in charge. All the presidents we've had in this nation, God knows what's going on, and they're there for reason or purpose. So then we had read about how the nations would be blessed from Abraham, you know, with Jesus Christ. But also there's physical blessings as well when you look at it. So then this nation, then when it was formed, you know, became the nation. I don't know who ever thought of it from this standpoint, America being here, you know, Christ from the beginning there, from the beginning, Noah's end. He knew at the end times he would need a nation where his work would be headquartered. Have you ever thought of that? That the Church of God is headquartered in America. He didn't choose any other nation or have any other nation prepared for it. Because you look back, could this Church of God been started in maybe Russia or Cuba? No, they don't have the freedoms to, like we have here in America, to go forth and with that commission, go ye therefore into all the world. This is the only nation that we can go out to the other nations because of the things that we have in this nation. That's why we're so blessed, because the work that Christ and God the Father still are doing at this time as we go forward. How about a Muslim nation? No, God, the work did not start in a Muslim nation. You know, wouldn't be allowed there to have talk about Christianity. Not even Great Britain. I was surprised last Sabbath up in Flint, and I was talking with an individual that's been around a number of years, just like I have. And we both remember the time when in even Great Britain, you could not have the world tomorrow, as was made reference in the sermon about Mr. Armstrong. That was, you could not even from a station in Great Britain, could you send out the world tomorrow? And I remember, and this individual in Flint remember, we used to have the pirate ship stations out in the around the British Isles. They're broadcasting into the people of Great Britain. They are the world tomorrow. And this individual up in Flint even remembered the name of the one of the stations. He says, yeah, it was Radio Caroline, he says, I believe was the name of the one ship that we broadcast from to the people in Great Britain. And you might think, well, what about Canada? No, in Canada, for instance, when I go to Canada, I have to be careful about what I say regarding marriage over there, because they have a different idea of marriage. I've been told I can speak and quote exactly what Scripture says there if I speak on marriage, but I cannot expound any more than that, or I could end up in prison there in Canada for speaking against their views of what marriage is. And even the Beyond Today that we have so freely here in America, they have to edit some of those programs before they can be shown in Canada. So this nation, we're blessed. We have this freedom of religion and all these freedoms here that was worked out years ago at the beginning of this nation with Christ in charge. He knew down the road he'd want a nation to work with here that he could work with at the end time to get the message out. So, and then also when you think about here we are, you and I, we are blessed to be a part of this great work here in America now today. You know, we can give our financial support. We're blessed to do that, and our prayers to continue for the work that's headquartered here in America. Because you think of the senior pastors that we have in different areas of the world. And I was going to look it up, and I didn't come across it yet, but I believe all our senior pastors are from America who go out to other congregations in the world, just as we had in the past 2 weeks of the United News report. You know, Ben Light was down in Chile there to go out and give assistance in the other areas of the world. You know, it comes out from America here where Jesus Christ is the head of the work. So at this time, we are to rejoice. We are being prepared to serve in the coming government of God. So let's notice Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. This, what happens if a nation would not want to follow God? Any nation, as Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15, where it says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You know, there's curses that come upon a nation or individuals if they do not want to keep the commandments of God. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7 through 20. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains, of springs that flow out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat and barley, of vines and the fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey. This is what it was when God took them, ancient Israel, brought them into the promised land. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You know, we have such blessings here in America. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Yes, we are to keep them. We are to remember what God has done for us, each and every one of us in our lives. We've been blessed, and not to forget what he has done. So we need to always remember our Creator. And Ezekiel now. Ezekiel chapter 18. Can we look to the future? You know, right now it does maybe look a little dismal here in America and the rest of the world with what's going on in the Middle East and everything, but we must remember the end from the beginning, that God and Jesus Christ have a plan of salvation for all of mankind. So let's notice this in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 through 32, where we read, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways." You know, it doesn't say just nation, but every one of us, says the Lord God. "Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live." So encouraged here to turn and live, turn back to God, even in our personal lives, you know, put away iniquity out of our lives and our transgressions, and repent, come to repentance. You know, God knows our story very well, our lives. And then Ezekiel 37, I also have here Ezekiel 37, as we look forward to that return of Christ, Ezekiel 37, 21 through 28. About the future. And here, Ezekiel 37, verse 21. "Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I'll take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over all of them. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God." So, you know, a future time when God brings all the peoples, especially here he's making emphasis on Israelites. Well, there's a reason for that. "David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land, and I will give to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be the prince over them. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the nations will Also know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. You know, a future time when this is going to take place, when God will be among the nation of Israel at that time. Then rest of the nations will know where God is dwelling, because he has his tabernacle in Israel, coming Israel at that time. Then all people will know that who God is. So, yeah, we look forward to that as well. So, final scripture over here for today is Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 9. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Yes, we can rejoice when Christ returns. He'll be our salvation for all of mankind. So then, therefore, today then, this Sabbath day, as every Sabbath, for it was a day created for us, let us rejoice with praise and thanksgiving this day, for we are so blessed here in America. We have a part, just think, we have a part in the future of what God is doing for the salvation of mankind. And God knows the end from the beginning.